For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. You know, as a Hall of Famer, you know, it's whenever you get in, it either is your first year or your last year or 20 years from now. You know what I mean? When I talk to a lot of guys that waited 15, 20 years, it's always like the first. You know what I mean? So I'm so just right now so honored. You know, it's only 378 players in the entire world that played football that was able to say that they're a Hall of Famer. So I'm just honored right now to be one of those guys.
You know what? His brain is fine. It's just the body that deteriorates, and he's never been smarter. He can still understand everything. So I'm just thrilled that tomorrow morning is when we're going to get to present him with his Boston jacket at home, and I can't wait.
Cardinals down to their last out. The crowd at Wrigley bounced to first, glove by Bush. Underhand feed to Neris. Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herrick, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, SiriusXM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herrick on 670 The Score.
Chi City. For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herrick on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Guests who will join us throughout the show will join us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. The Score Listener Line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Who knows? We will keep our ears to the ground if there is any breaking news. And breaking news on 670. The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. A fantastic sports weekend that is on the way for those of us in Chicago. There's a lot to look forward to. I know at least we feel it in my household with as much as my wife and my son and myself. You know, I'm just doing a lot of moving and shaking, so I don't get to watch the Olympics as closely as they are, but you know, they are glued to seemingly every moment of it, from, you know, day up to sunset, and the DVR is full of all kinds of Olympics coverage, and track and field is just getting going, all the things that have been going on with swimming and watching Simone Biles and Suni Lee and everybody else in the gymnastics world bringing home all the medals for the United States. They're soaking up every bit of that. You, of course, heard at the top of the show, Alex Kuhn played for you, what's happening with the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the various Hall of Famers who have represented the Chicago Bears, and looking forward to the enshrinement ceremony that's going to take place tomorrow. We're going to get into previewing a bunch of that throughout the show tonight. And then the Cubs are at least fun again. Maybe good. I don't know. I kind of, you know, I hesitate to fully embrace the idea that the Cubs are good, because I feel like there's been enough mediocre, there's been enough bad, there's been enough disappointing throughout the season where they're going to need to earn it a little bit more for a little bit longer, a little bit more extended period of time here to win games, to make critical plays defensively, to make big pitches, to have big hits. But things are looking up, so you're certainly not going to ignore that. Three wins in a row, last two of them over the St. Louis Cardinals, opportunity to extend that to a four-game win streak tomorrow. So I mean, the weekend as a whole, man, I mean, it's, you know, I tend to tell people Thursday night is party night, and the idea that the weekend begins on Thursday is one of those things that some folks embrace and some folks don't. But there's no doubt, we get to Friday, when we get to this point, especially Friday evening, where a lot of you might be listening on your way to head out, hit them streets, somewhere. Some of you may just be sitting at home relaxing. You may be sitting on your back patio doing a little something, enjoying the weather. Whatever it is that you are into right now, it is official that the weekend is here. I had Alex Kuhn grab a little something from my childhood, because every time I think about the weekend, every time I think about Friday night, I think about New Edition. I think about Ralph Tresvant. I think about Bobby Brown. I think about a song from the 80s, from my childhood, that made me excited for the weekend every time it came on the radio. And what it actually ends up doing is reminding me how to spell the word school, which can be a bit of a tricky word sometimes when you're a kid to spell. It was part of the way that I was able to sort of ingrain it in my brain to spell the word school, because the name of the song is school, and they actually have the spelling of the word in the lyrics of the song. But the most important part of it that leads into the hook is actually letting you know. Alex, go ahead and play it for the people. Let them know what
Monday,
I'm talking about.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, the weekend's
here. That's right. That is the most important part of the song when you hear that, because it lets you know what day it is. It lets you know what time it is. It lets you know what you are headed into. And so on a Friday evening, a little New Edition for you, because for me, that's what gets me going. That's what gets me ready for the weekend that is upon us, and especially with all the exceptional things, with all the special things, all the moments that await us this weekend. So whether you're getting ready to watch the Olympics, whether you're getting ready to watch the Pro Football Hall of Fame, whether you're excited about what the Chicago Cubs are starting to do and the anticipation of whether or not they will be able to continue it at the friendly confines at Wrigley Field against the St. Louis Cardinals, then you have a lot that you'll be prepared to partake of this weekend. I certainly know I got a lot that in my household we're prepared to partake of this sporting weekend as well. And that's in the midst of, you know, I mentioned the moving and shaking. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of work going on, some time on the air, various radio, TV outlets. By the way, I mentioned it when I was on with Bernstein and Holmes with Lawrence and Dan earlier today. Welcome to the Big Ten, some of the schools from out on the left coast. Today is the day where that is official, that the USC Trojans, the Washington Huskies, the Oregon Ducks, the UCLA Bruins, the four traditionally Pac-12, Pac-10, Pac-8, the Pacific time zone schools now joining the Big Ten Conference. So for whatever reason, August 2nd is the day that was selected. I assume it has something to do with the academic calendar or agreements that were signed or something along those lines. I honestly haven't taken a deep dive into it, because part of it, I just enjoy the idea that something about it seems incongruent. Something about it seems a little bit out of sorts. Like, we had Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis. You know, we were there throughout the week last week talking to the 18 different head coaches, the 54 different players that were there at Lucas Oil Stadium, taking all of that in. And for some reason, they actually weren't in the Big Ten Conference yet. But as of today, it is official. They're now allowed in the Big Ten. They are now representing officially the Big Ten Conference. So, willkommen to all the schools from the left coast who are now in the conference as well. And when I look forward to this particular weekend and being able to take all these different things in, what I recognize is especially the fact that right now we are still city dwellers, but we have made the suburban purchase. And so we're kind of figuring out that move and piecemealing our way to get out there. So there's a lot of happening with the, you know, with painting this and remodeling that and, you know, scheduling movers and all these other things and making sure the six-year-old is going to be able to be enrolled in school when we get out there, because that clock is ticking as well. But as far as the sports calendar, this part of the year where the football season is here and you got a variety of different things that converge at this moment, there is this sort of enhanced excitement, because when the calendar flips to August, there is this excitement for the football season being here, both the NFL version and the collegiate version. It's all right around the corner. We saw the Bears results from last night in the Hall of Fame game that we'll discuss throughout the evening here. But aside from that, there's also the recognition that the clock on the summer is now ticking. And especially now that we got a kid, we're kind of back to the point where my wife and I, for years, because we've been together since college, for years we had kind of gotten away from the mental recognition, so sort of the mental touchstones of the calendar being based around the school calendar. But for so many folks out there who are parents, so many folks who are kids, so many folks who are in and around academic settings, then there is this feeling that when you hit August and you know the school year is about to start, then that's one of these things that converge as well. Because now there is this feeling that we're kind of running out of summer. And when you're running out of summer in the Chicagoland area, you also might be running out of nice weather too. So that's a part of what I think we're all feeling also. So there is this excitement. There is this anticipation. And in some ways, there's a little bit of apprehension because you're kind of running out of the opportunity just to feel the freedom that comes with knowing that right now there is no school. Right now there is no need to be rushing back and forth. But once we actually get through the summer and the school calendar starts up, we're going to have all the football. We're going to have all the sports. We're going to have a bunch of things to enjoy as viewers. But there's also going to be a little bit more hustle, a little bit more regiment to the schedule. So we're kind of into the final weeks of the summer break, of the most free time of the year. And so I do believe that the excitement, the anticipation, the feeling is tinged with some of those as well. So, you know, enjoy it. Soak this weekend up. I haven't looked at the weather. I don't know what it's expected to be. But in the end, I hope that you will all enjoy what's here, because there's a lot that's worthy of kind of looking forward to on the sports calendar for this weekend. So I'm definitely going to get into a lot of that as well. Let's get into the phone lines. We already got a caller on the line at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We got John, who's out in Logan Square. We're talking a little bit about the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we're going to talk about it a lot over the course of the next few hours. We'll hear from those representing the various Hall of Famers. What's happening with you, John?
Hey, man. Anthony, how you doing, bro?
Doing great, man.
I'm going to keep it simple. I'm really disappointed in the Hall of Fames in general. For instance, the Baseball Hall of Fame that waited for Ron Santo to die, even though it was the only thing on the planet he still wanted. They wait for McMichael to become so ill you can't recognize him. I watched, like, the documentary. I cried at how horrible I felt for him. What is with these shrines thinking they can't reward people while they're still alive? I don't understand it. They take it way too seriously. And honestly, I was looking at Ron Santo's stats. You know, he's got more war than Ernie Banks and only like three less war than Frank Thomas. And that's all I'll say. Thank you.
I think it's a good call, John. And I've always viewed the Pro Football Hall of Fame as the most difficult Hall of Fame to get into. You know, like, it's not only pro football that has a Hall of Fame that can be entered. You, of course, have the College Football Hall of Fame. They've got a great exhibit, a great Hall of Fame center that's down there in Atlanta. And I actually, you know, even we used to live in Atlanta for a couple of years. My sister still lives down there. We've only been back a couple of times in recent years, especially since we had a kid. But I'm looking forward to the last time we went to the city, the College Football Hall of Fame was open, but we didn't make it there. But I am looking forward to it. I've heard amazing things about the College Football Hall of Fame down in ATL, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, I have been there. And I got to say, it's an amazing facility, and in some ways it's kind of in the middle of nothing, in the middle of nowhere, and they're apparently they're in the process of maybe building like a theme park next to it, and they're going to make it an even more family-friendly sort of adventure that you can go on, not just the Hall of Fame facility, the interior of it itself, but sort of build a Hall of Fame community that surrounds it a bit more to make it even more of a destination point for fans and for families to go and enjoy over the course of perhaps a little bit more of an extended period of time. But to John's point, to the caller's point, it is extremely difficult to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, I feel like everybody gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, like, all the greats, as far as I can tell, as much attention as I pay to the Hockey Hall of Fame, I feel like all the greats get in there, but there's constantly this waiting list with both football and baseball. The Baseball Hall of Fame has a similar vibe to it, and it is extremely difficult to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame as well. And so Cooperstown is certainly this shrine and this area that everyone likes venturing to. But it does seem to me that there's an even longer waiting list of greats, and part of it is just the volume of players, volume of rosters. And the fact that I do believe the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a little bit more subjective in how they go about it, where it's not as much about the statistical milestone that you hit that feels like it guarantees you access. So it's my impression. I think it's either football or baseball, but I do believe the Pro Football Hall of Fame is more difficult to get into, and that's where you end up with situations like we do have with Steve McMichael. I think it's fantastic that he's been able to hang on this long and make sure that he's going to be available, that he's going to be alive, that he's going to be lucid enough to watch it and enjoy it, and that his wife Misty will be there representing him. One individual who's there representing Chicago amongst the media who is in Canton to see all these Bears get enshrined tomorrow is Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. Take a time out, come back, and get his perspective on what he has witnessed so far, including last night's game in the Hall of Fame game with the Bears that took the field. We'll talk to Patrick Finley next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't know what she's going to say. She haven't told me. You know, that's something that I don't want to hear till it's time for it to happen. But I chose my mom because I know at the end of the day, she probably was the biggest part of my career.
As Hall of Famer, Devin Hester, greatest kick returner of all time, certainly the most statistically spectacular returner in the history of professional football. He'll be enshrined amongst the others tomorrow into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was Devin Hester talking about having his mother introduce him for the Hall of Fame, as each Hall of Famer will have that opportunity to have one of their loved ones intro them and put a personal touch on it. And we haven't seen a lot of moms up there doing that for their sons as they enter the Hall of Fame. So I'm sure that'll be a very sweet and touching tribute before Devin Hester takes to the stage. A man who will be there to witness it and take it all in. The Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. You can find him on the X at Patrick Finley, because his name is Patrick Finley. Pat, what's happening, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I flew home from Canton today, though.
You did?
So I will be watching it on television like everybody else. Jason Leisure from our paper stuck around. I will be at a football practice when I am not watching the speech and keeping an eye on Caleb Williams and his development.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. There's something to be said for that. There's no doubt, man. And the game itself last night, I do want to start with that and then get into the festivities that we'll all then be watching on television tomorrow in unison. But last night's game, I mean, it's the Hall of Fame game. It's the first game of the preseason. You go into it kind of wondering who's going to play, and then we find out none of the starters for the Bears and really for the Texans either are going to be on the field. So did you feel like there was much to glean from what we saw?
Boy, I enjoyed it ending after three quarters. That was pretty great. just a couple of things in terms of who they played and who they did not play. I was surprised that, Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson were out there. You know, in my book, they've made the team and they're part of this three-headed monster at running back. I don't know what you have to gain by playing them other than the fact that the Bears were pretty low on bodies at running back. They had two injuries, and really the only other healthy guy was Demetric Felton, the old Browns running back who they signed on Sunday. So maybe that was more out of necessity and numbers than any other reason. I was shocked that Velus Jones wasn't participating, because I don't think of him as having made the team at this point by any stretch. And honestly, I'd like to see him playing receiver and what he can do there, because if he's just a kick returner, that's an awful specialized position for a team that's in position to win games. And I was also, the quarterback situation I thought was interesting. I'm not going to make too big a deal out of Brett Rypien playing out of his mind yesterday. I still think Tyson Bagent is the number two, but I think, you're seeing a world now where the Bears may have to keep Brett Rypien on cut day in order to retain him. Sometimes you hope you can get somebody through to the practice squad and and that's good enough. But, you know, if Ripken keeps putting good film out there, there's going to be a team that's going to want to come get him if the Bears cut him here in a couple of weeks.
And the two top performances of the evening certainly belong to Bears quarterback Brett Ripon and Bears receiver Colin Johnson. And to be fair, there were a number of offensive players from the Houston Texans that performed well also. Wasn't a whole lot of defense being played out there seemingly, but Rip and Johnson were both extremely impressive. Let's start with Johnson because you referenced Bayless Jones as a guy who you found it surprising he wasn't out there in the game. We've seen him get opportunities throughout his Bears career to perform not only at receiver and as a sort of a gadget member of the Bears offense, Swiss Army knife type, but of course a variety of areas on Bears special teams. With the performance we saw from Colin Johnson last night, I know you guys get the opportunity to talk to Bears special teams coordinator Richard Hightower on a regular basis. Do you see the performance of Colin Johnson last night putting him in a position where now Richard Hightower takes a closer look and sees if maybe there is a spot for him in the special teams phase?
Yeah, I do. You know, Colin told the story last night that he was playing so much on offense that at some point Hightower walked up to him and said, "Hey, bud, do you want to come off of special teams?" Because he was playing all the special teams. And Colin looked up to him and said, "No, sir, I don't." Which is the perfect answer if you are somebody trying to make this club. Yeah, his versatility on special teams is an advantage. As you know, when you are at the bottom of the roster trying to be, you know, guy number 48 through 53, you need to play special teams and you need to be pretty good at it. Johnson showed that he can be. You know, I think my question is, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, if you want to complete a 15-yard pass, I'd rather have Colin Johnson than Bayless Jones, and I'd rather have him than DeAndre Carter, who I've got penciled in as their punt returner. And I guess the question is whether you'll ever really need that. You know, as long as the Bears are rolling here with the top three receivers that they have, you know, and then Tyler Scott at number four, you know, when you take all of them plus Cole Kmet, you know, plus Gerald Everett, plus the running backs they have who can catch passes, I mean, there's a world where the fifth receiver they keep is in actuality something like their ninth or tenth best pass catcher. So, you know, in a sense, Colin's versatility will help him. You know, I wonder how much his skill as a go-get at wide receiver will help him, though, and how much they really need somebody like that.
With Brett Ripon at the quarterback position, I mean, you know, it's not like Tyson Bagent played enough to be very impressive or to have any real concerns about him either, but pretty much since he's stepped into the opportunity with the Chicago Bears, going back to last preseason, the regular season opportunities, he certainly performed beyond the profile of where he came from. But now at this point, being an undrafted free agent out of a Division VIII school, that doesn't matter as much as whether or not Tyson Bagent is a competent number two QB. Up to this point, you can make the case that he seems to be that. But that being said, the Bears didn't go out and try to ensure that they had anyone who was better. So do you view Tyson Bagent as a guy who, you know, is definitively sort of locked in as the number two based off of last season's performance? Or is there really potential here that maybe something could be up for grabs?
I do. I've been kind of in on Bagent a year ago, May. I was an early fan for a lot of reasons. I just liked the way he carried himself. I liked the way he played in practice, even in, like, you know, the rookie mini camp 18 months ago. And I love his story. You know, I'm a writer. I've got to root for stories. And coming from arm wrestling royalty is a pretty cool story. You know, the Bears think that he is a capable number two who can win games when you need him to. And I think he proved that by going 2-2 last year with a roster on offense that's a lot worse than the one that he's got now. You know, you said it. You know, Ryan Poles could have gone out and gotten any of his in a series of veterans to help develop Caleb. You know, you could sit there and say, you know, we want somebody who's had a lot of starts. We want somebody who can help mentor our quarterback. They didn't do that because they really like Bagent where he is. They went and did some other things, like Ryan Griffin, the old quarterback for the Buccaneers, is now working on their staff. They think he can play that role of, you know, kind of veteran sounding board. And, you know, finally they went and added Ripon in March. Ripon's only started four games in his life, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he is the font of all knowledge. But you know what? He's 28. That makes him 4 years older than Bagent, 2 years older than Caleb. And I think there's a place for Ripon, you know, in that room in helping to bring along the young quarterback. If you're asking me if I'd be worried about Bagent in the number two job, I would not. I think Bagent's pretty well served to do well there. and I think he'll be the number two quarterback at the end of the off or at the end of the preseason here too.
Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times with me here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The practices that you've gotten to witness in the preseason up to this point throughout training camp, what are your impressions? You know, the Bears defense is the Bears defense. It's veteran-laden. It's extremely talented in the back seven. Montez Sweat is Montez Sweat. He's emerged as one of the best defensive ends in football. That versus the Bears offense. Are you at a point where you feel like the back and forth between the defense and offense, seemingly being advantage D up to this point, is it worthy of concern for what the Bears offense could hold?
No, I think you'll like this, though. I think the defense should always be ahead at this time of year. I think the teams I've covered where the offense is ahead have typically been bad. So, I think just the way everything's structured, all things being equal, I see no cause for concern with a defense that plays slightly better than the offense day in and day out. And that's what we've seen so far. Caleb Williams is a rookie quarterback. Throw out C.J. Stroud last year, and a rookie quarterback is, kind of usually, at best a B-minus or B player as a rookie. And that's okay as long as they're getting better every day. To expect him to run an offense flawlessly in July and early August against a defense that's pretty well established, I think that's a really hard task for him. And I don't hold it against Caleb that it's not, happening regularly. He makes some throws that are unreal. And he does some things that make his teammates look around and be like, oh my Lord, did you see that? And that's really exciting to watch on our end. But kind of day in, day out, this defense is doing better than the offense. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And one of them is the defense is pretty good. And the other is, I think that's kind of what it should be at this point.
At what point would it be worth concern, some of the issues that have been there with the, breaking the huddle, with the procedural issues, pre-snap, some of those things that, Caleb has talked about, Shane Waldron has talked about with you guys as well. Just the, yes, he's a rookie quarterback. He hasn't had to spit out the verbiage in the huddle in his collegiate system. I talked to Lincoln Riley even about that a bit last week, his collegiate coach at both Oklahoma and USC. So a lot of that is very new to Caleb Williams. At what point, as it relates to a rookie quarterback who's going to be the opening day starter when the Bears are needing to win some games, do you see a timeline for when that's going to be worthy of concern if we don't see improvements along those lines?
Oh, you got 5 weeks till the season starts. I wouldn't be too worried about it until we're playing games that matter. There was a time.
And we may have lost Patrick Finley there, or he's decided to mute his phone while he was walking around there. But at that point, I've actually got some of the sound that we'll get to later in the show of me talking to Lincoln Riley about Caleb Williams. It was from Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis, but it was one of the things I asked him about, just that ability for Caleb to make the transition to the NFL. We've got Patrick back now, but you mentioned the amount of time between now and the season for Caleb to begin sort of, picking things up in that regard, just the verbalizing and being able to spit the play out and being able to get everyone lined up. Are you seeing signs that the progress is already beginning?
Yeah, I am. And I wouldn't worry about it till the season starts. Like you said, we got 5 weeks here to go. When they had five false starts on back-to-back practices last week, in my book, that was more an issue of cadence and him going to the line and trying to be, deceptive than it was getting the play out. One thing that's really fun to watch is Andrew Billings, the Bears' big nose tackle, shouts out an instruction, a move call on the line, on the defense, for the defensive line. He can really make that sound like hike. And what he does is everybody gets under center and you hear this, monster, this giant of a man just go move. And it has tricked so many Bears offensive players so far in camp. And so that's, that's one of those things.
I'm wondering as I'm trying to sort of, listen for it and imagine what it would sound like then and how the word move could end up sounding like hike and what, what language that could potentially be and what dialect perhaps Andrew Billings is speaking in those moments. Is it you know, he heard blue a moment ago and he's yelling move, and then they think it's blue or something along those lines. But you're at a hair trigger. You're waiting for the next sound to emanate from anyone on the field. And that's where, you know, whether it's the rookie QB, the inexperienced O-line and those types of things. Yeah, it's a lot to work through during the preseason. Before I let you run, Patrick, the Hall of Fame, of course, and having three Bears in it. I'm just wondering to set the scene for what you witnessed while you were in Canton. A lot of the guys who were getting enshrined, they're out there. They take the field before the game. Mr. McMichael was able to do so as well. Is there sort of a feeling that Bears fandom has kind of taken over Canton leading into what we'll witness tomorrow?
Yeah, this was definitely a Bears weekend. And, you know, when Brian Urlacher was there 5 years ago and Ray Lewis was there, it was kind of a joint Bears and Ravens weekend. I think it says something that when the Bears get a guy in the Hall of Fame, the NFL decides to put them in the game and really build, you know, the entire experience around that because they know how rabid the fan base is. I've spent the last 10 minutes trying to think what it would be like for my mom to induct me into anything. And I think that there's a part of me that would be scared to death that she would tell every embarrassing story in the world about me. So with Devin, I think that will be heartfelt and great. Obviously, the Mongo thing is bittersweet for a lot of reasons. He has ALS. He's not able to go there, and he's not able to really do much of a lot now. And the fact that they will bring the gold jacket to him here in Homer Glen, I think, is a really touching moment. But, you know, to sit there and say that it's a joyous occasion, it is because they got him in. But, boy, I would have loved to have heard his voice behind a microphone, you know, in better times celebrating it. Because, you know, if you've ever met Mongo or spent more than a minute with him, you know that the man would not be at a loss for words. I tell you that.
There's no doubt about that, man. Any interaction I've been able to have with him in years past at different charity events and golf outings, he is just this larger-than-life personality within the body of a man who was, you know, larger than most humans who've walked the earth as well. And it really suited him. Both matched up pretty well with each other. Also curious, but before you go, the kickoff rule. We got our first look at that last night before the rains came, and we saw various versions of that. What were your impressions of seeing it? Obviously, we've all been thinking about it for a little while now. We got to witness it in person last night. You did. What did you think?
It looked weird, but I think we're going to have to get over that. I mean, quite honestly, the alternative at this point is put the ball at the 25 and let's just call it first down. And I don't think anybody in football wants that. For a lot of reasons. One of them is, you know, just the word kickoff. What time, you know, when's kickoff? If you don't have kickoff anymore, that doesn't exist. The other part is you have special teams coordinators and guys at the end of the roster, you know, the Colin Johnsons of the world who we talk about, that, boy, if a kickoff and a kick return went away, that'd be less work for them to do. That would be less opportunity for them to make an impact on their team, and I don't think anybody wants to see that. So if it's this or nothing, I'm good with this. To me, the best part of the whole thing is that when it's windy, you can take a 12th man and have him hold the tip of the football. And it was last night, it was the punter on either team, and they hold the tip of the football, the ball gets kicked, and the punters have to run off like they're some sort of middle schooler who's sent out to grab the tee during a college game. They just got to get the heck out of there. That is really interesting. I don't know what you thought, but, you know, I think it's going to take some getting used to kind of accept this as part of the game. It's the biggest change the game has had since probably the two-point conversion.
Now, I don't know how I missed it, if it was a part of Torrey Taylor's time in college, but as you know, I followed his collegiate career at my alma mater really closely.
Yes.
The crocodile punter nickname, I mean, it seems very on the nose. It seems, you know, pretty obvious in some ways that it's something that should have been in the lexicon for a while here. I wasn't familiar with it. Is this something you've been aware of for a while?
For a little bit. I used it on Twitter, I think, for the first time yesterday or the day before. And I got people who liked it, and I got people who thought we needed to workshop it a little bit. I think it's perfect. And, I mean, first of all, if you're a punter and if you're getting a nickname at all, like, number one, God bless, that doesn't happen. I think it's clever, and, you know, the other thing is that I think he's going to be really good. And I think you can kind of have fun with a player like that who you know is going to be good. You know that Matt Eberflus has given them a nickname. We got to figure out what it is. I doubt it will be as great as Crocodile Punter because that one I think is a 10 out of 10 right now.
Yeah, and it's not short enough. I feel like Flus likes to go with the kind of abbreviated nicknames, things that are a little short that he can kind of get out real quick. And Crocodile Punter has got too many syllables.
We have other options if you want them. We were tossing some around last night. Something like Down Under Punter, Down Punter, something like that. It's not quite fully baked. We got to figure it out. But right now Crocodile Punter is my leader in the clubhouse.
Now, I'm guessing he'll end up, Flus will call him like double T or something like that. Something very simple, very basic.
Just call him 19. Exactly. Call him by his number.
Yeah, we knew we were witnessing history. Torrey Taylor got out there to be the holder on a kickoff. That was his first snap of professional football, at least in the National Football League. Well, Patrick, I appreciate your time tonight, man. Look forward to your continued coverage throughout this preseason as the Bears get ready to rock.
Sounds great.
That is Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times on Twitter, at Patrick Finley. I got to talk about it a little bit in the post game last night, but I'll give you my reaction to what we witnessed last evening, both on the field and then a few aspects kind of surrounding the game as well. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, we're going to talk not only football, but we'll talk some baseball throughout the show as well, and also kind of give you a lay of the land for just the Hall of Fame voting process. A couple of great guests coming up later in the show that Alex Kuhn ended up booking. In addition, our conversation we just had with Patrick Finley, Tony Andracki will join me in just a few minutes to talk some Cubs, and then also Howard Balzer will be on later in the show as well to describe that Hall of Fame process. He is one of the voters who's involved in that in very deep fashion, so he'll be able to get into some of the minutia of that. To the caller we had earlier in the show talking about the process, the procedure, I've been able to communicate with so many guys over the years who've been waiting for that call to the Hall, and I'm going to illuminate some of that, some of those conversations and interactions I've had in the past with guys who've gotten very, at times, wrapped up in, choked up about wanting their career to be recognized and feeling like it's sort of been pushed to the side. But we'll be able to talk about a lot of that throughout the remainder of the show here. I did mention, though, it's going to be some baseball discussion coming up later, and baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We return, though. Let's get into the Hall of Fame game and have some discussions about these Bears Hall of Famers that will be on their way into Canton. We'll do that next on The Score.
Wide open for a touchdown, it's Colin Johnson. Practice squad player last year, and a touchdown throw from Brett Rypien to put the Bears on the scoreboard.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was the voice of Joe Buck, ESPN, the Monday Night Football crew on the call last night. Thanks to them for that sound. Troy Aikman there with him as well. And one of the more fun moments during the broadcast was after it was apparent that Brett Rypien and Colin Johnson had taken the game over, when Joe Buck just started talking about how Liev Schreiber and the crew from Hard Knocks would have a lot to talk about as it related to Rypien and Johnson. And then moments later, another touchdown pass, the third touchdown pass for Brett Rypien, second touchdown grab for Colin Johnson happened on the very next play. A little bit of prognostication there from Joe Buck. But it was a couple of individuals getting an opportunity, seizing that opportunity, and now the coaching staff takes an additional look at them. Now, we all kind of have that tinge of hesitation, just wondering, like, all right, what does it really mean for an opportunity for either of them to make the team, to break into the lineup, to be on the two deep or anything along those lines. But it was certainly enough to make note of, enough for folks to take notice of. And we'll see if you continue that level of performance. You know, think back to Victor Cruz as an undrafted free agent with the New York Giants years ago and just lit it up week after week during the preseason and then eventually turned into a Pro Bowl receiver throughout much of his NFL career. But you know, opportunities can happen and be seized, and once you break through, you know, James Harrison, very similar fashion. Undrafted free agent, being a guy who with the Pittsburgh Steelers had gone over to NFL, Europe, World League football and back and forth, been released multiple times, and then finally got to the point in his career where he broke through with some great performances in the preseason. The right player gets injured for the Steelers as an outside linebacker. And when James Harrison got his opportunity in some regular season games, then he took over and became one of the most feared pass rushers in football for the bulk of his career, and had a Hall of Fame caliber career when it really comes down to it, as a guy who became such a feared playmaker in the NFL. So these things can happen. These things do end up mattering as you're watching the development arc of individual players and the development arc of some of the guys on the roster. Like, you know, I think I would agree with Patrick Finley in the way that he assessed the running back position with Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson. I've got no doubt that both of them are going to make the team, but you know, you can look at it as a competition for the number two running back position, though, and you got to put some bodies out there, and especially being banged up in the backfield right now. Like, Demetric Felton was a player who played some running back in college, played some receiver in college as well, but you know, you can't just run him out there nonstop throughout the entirety of the game. And I think for Herbert and Johnson, it's no surprise that each of them looked impressive, especially Khalil Herbert, because you know, Khalil Herbert's been a guy who's had big games as a lead back in the National Football League in the regular season. But to have them out there taking the amount of snaps, getting the amount of run that they did, I think it became just kind of a number situation as much as anything else. But you know, for Colin Johnson, we'll see. A player I didn't really talk about last night too much was one of the defenders for the Bears. And you know, Austin Booker didn't end up getting credited with a sack. He was certainly out there and in the backfield on a few different occasions. And, you know, for being a young guy out of Kansas, drafted in the fifth round, and as much as we all know the Bears could use some additional depth from, you know, rushing off the edge, Austin Booker's a guy who a lot of us have our eyes on. And so to see him getting some run out there in the preseason and looking effective and not just looking like a guy who's got the long frame and the explosive first step, some of the athletic traits that we hope for, that we witness, but a guy who showed some power, you know, showed a willingness to try and run some guys over and an effectiveness in getting off of some of those blockers when he got some power into them. You know, he used a number of what we term as speed to power moves, where he bursts up the field, gets the tackle to open up a little bit, and then runs over them with force and was able to collapse the pocket. Now, at 6'6", about 240 pounds, he's not going to be a power rusher against most of the quality tackles in football. So, all right, I do wonder a little bit where at least what I witnessed from Austin Booker last night was a lot of power rushing, and I like the idea that he's willing to rush with some power. But what else is in that toolbox? Because he's viewed as a guy who's a very raw talent, a really green sort of physical specimen, but who knows, because the Bears don't have a lot of pass rush, don't have a lot of edge rush, at least from what we've seen for the guys who are currently on the roster, then they could find themselves in a position where a player like Austin Booker may get some run kind of based off of just the hope that he could become productive with some game action. But again, that's another guy where now that he's got a little something on film, he showed some production in game, getting near the quarterback, getting to the quarterback on multiple occasions, then perhaps that earns him even more opportunities to see what the growth potential is, because you haven't seen a whole lot of that from Dominique Robinson in the time he's been with the Bears in the preseason or the regular season. There's physical traits there, but at a certain point, you got to go beyond just being the guy with traits and turn into a guy who's actually being productive out there on the field. So that's one that intrigues me, Dominique Robinson, and whether or not he's hit his ceiling, and if an Austin Booker puts himself in a position to maybe move on to a similar plateau with him, perhaps even move beyond Dominique Robinson, he was previously the traits guy, the raw guy who the Bears were hoping would develop into something that got more production out of him. Just haven't seen it yet. And that could be an opportunity for Austin Booker. So continue to watch him pretty closely here. We'll transition into some baseball conversation, though, because I mentioned earlier a lot of the fun anticipation I have for the weekend to come is not only about the Olympics, not only about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the enshrinement that we're going to watch tomorrow, but about the Cubs playing some good baseball here. I don't know if I view them as a good team yet. I probably don't yet, but I got my eye on them. See if there's something here that's brewing on the north side of town out there in Wrigleyville. We'll talk to Tony Andracki about that. Some of this development we've seen from the Cubs, what the moves or lack thereof at the trade deadline really mean for how they view this team at this point in the season. A lot to get into with the Cubbies. We'll do that next on The Score.
Wide open for a touchdown. It's Colin Johnson. Practice squad player last year, and a touchdown throw from Brett Rippon to put the Bears on the scoreboard.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was the voice of Joe Buck, ESPN, the Monday Night Football crew on the call last night. Thanks to them for that sound. Troy Aikman there with him as well. And one of the more fun moments during the broadcast was after it was apparent that Brett Rippon and Colin Johnson had taken the game over, when Joe Buck just started talking about how Liev Schreiber and the crew from Hard Knocks would have a lot to talk about as it related to Rippon and Johnson. And then moments later, another touchdown pass, the third touchdown pass for Brett Rippon, second touchdown grab for Colin Johnson happened on the very next play. A little bit of prognostication there from Joe Buck. But it was a couple of individuals getting an opportunity, seizing that opportunity, and now the coaching staff takes an additional look at them. Now, we all kind of have that tinge of hesitation, just wondering, like, all right, what does it really mean for an opportunity for either of them to make the team, to break into the lineup, to be on the two deep or anything along those lines. But it was certainly enough to make note of, enough for folks to take notice of. And we'll see if you continue that level of performance. You know, think back to Victor Cruz as an undrafted free agent with the New York Giants years ago and just lit it up week after week during the preseason and then eventually turned into a Pro Bowl receiver throughout much of his NFL career. But, you know, opportunities can happen and be seized. And once you break through, you know, James Harrison, very similar fashion, undrafted free agent, being a guy who with the Pittsburgh Steelers had gone over to NFL, Europe, World League football and back and forth, been released multiple times. And then finally got to the point in his career where he broke through with some great performances in the preseason. The right player gets injured for the Steelers as an outside linebacker. And when James Harrison got his opportunity in some regular season games, then he took over and became one of the most feared pass rushers in football for the bulk of his career and had a Hall of Fame caliber career when it really comes down to it as a guy who became such a feared playmaker in the NFL. So these things can happen. These things do end up mattering as you're watching the development arc of individual players and the, you know, development arc of some of the guys on the roster. Like, you know, I think I would agree with Patrick Finley in the way that he assessed the running back position with Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson. I've got no doubt that both of them are going to make the team. But, you know, you can look at it as a competition for the number two running back position, though. And you got to put some bodies out there, and especially being banged up in the backfield right now. Like Demetric Felton was a player who played some running back in college, played some receiver in college as well. But, you know, you can't just run him out there nonstop throughout the entirety of the game. And I think for Herbert and Johnson, it's no surprise that each of them looked impressive, especially Khalil Herbert, because, you know, Khalil Herbert's been a guy who's had big games as a lead back in the National Football League in the regular season. But to have them out there taking the amount of snaps, getting the amount of run that they did, I think it became just kind of a number situation as much as anything else. But, you know, for Colin Johnson, we'll see. A player I didn't really talk about last night too much was one of the defenders for the Bears. And, you know, Austin Booker didn't end up getting credited with a sack. He was certainly out there and in the backfield on a few different occasions. And, you know, for being a young guy out of Kansas, drafted in the fifth round, and as much as we all know the Bears could use some additional depth from, you know, rushing off the edge, Austin Booker's a guy who a lot of us have our eyes on. And so to see him getting some run out there in the preseason and looking effective and not just looking like a guy who's got the long frame and the explosive first step, some of the athletic traits that we hope for, that we witness, but a guy who showed some power, you know, showed a willingness to try and run some guys over and an effectiveness in getting off of some of those blockers when he got some power into them. You know, he used a number of what we term as speed to power moves, where he bursts up the field, gets the tackle to open up a little bit, and then runs over them with force and was able to collapse the pocket. Now, at 6'6", about 240 pounds, he's not going to be a power rusher against most of the quality tackles in football. So, all right, I do wonder a little bit where at least what I witnessed from Austin Booker last night was a lot of power rushing, and I like the idea that he's willing to rush with some power. But what else is in that toolbox? Because he's viewed as a guy who's a very raw talent, a really green sort of physical specimen. But who knows? Because the Bears don't have a lot of pass rush, don't have a lot of edge rush, at least from what we've seen for the guys who are currently on the roster, then they could find themselves in a position where a player like Austin Booker may get some run kind of based off of just the hope that he could become productive with some game action. But again, that's another guy where now that he's got a little something on film, he showed some production in game, getting near the quarterback, getting to the quarterback on multiple occasions, then perhaps that earns him even more opportunities to see what the growth potential is, because I haven't seen a whole lot of that from Dominique Robinson in the time he's been with the Bears in the preseason or the regular season. There's physical traits there, but at a certain point, you got to go beyond just being the guy with traits and turn into a guy who's actually being productive out there on the field. So that's one that intrigues me, Dominique Robinson, and whether or not he's hit his ceiling, and if an Austin Booker puts himself in a position to maybe move on to a similar plateau with him, perhaps even move beyond Dominique Robinson, who was previously the traits guy, the raw guy who the Bears were hoping would develop into something that got more production out of him. Just haven't seen it yet. And that could be an opportunity for Austin Booker. So continue to watch him pretty closely here. We'll transition into some baseball conversation, though, because I mentioned earlier a lot of the fun anticipation I have for the weekend to come is not only about the Olympics, not only about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the enshrinement that we're going to watch tomorrow, but about the Cubs playing some good baseball here. I don't know if I view them as a good team yet. I probably don't yet, but I got my eye on them. See if there's something here that's brewing on the north side of town out there in Wrigleyville. We'll talk to Tony Andracki about that. Some of this development we've seen from the Cubs, what the moves or lack thereof at the trade deadline really mean for how they view this team at this point in the season. A lot to get into with the Cubbies. We'll do that next on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.